fighting for America.
Some of the things we're doing without Congress are making a difference, but we could do so much more if Congress would just come on and help out a little bit.
There are 321 House passed bills that are sitting in the United States Senate.
Fighting for Idaho.
What I've tried to employ the female members of my family is that let's make sure we don't do anything to provoke wrong actions.
Fighting for you.
Kevin Miller's my name, making it happen's my game. I got a cobra-like thrust, and I will kill if I must.
Where did I hear that before?
I know. You made that phrase famous.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Hey, diddle-diddle, right up the middle.
On 580 KIDL, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, everybody. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDL. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Coming up this hour, Paula Poundstone. Before that, though, our great friend China Gum, who is here. This is her first radio interview, and she's called me 75 times because she's nervous. I had to beg her to come on, and I'm going, dude, you've run successful congressional campaigns, a very competitive and some would say successful campaign with Senator Fulcher, and you're intimidated by a guy in a powder puff blue-colored shirt? You're a mom, you're a wife. Come on, it's not that bad.
Well, I'm excited to be on your show, Kevin. Thank you for having me.
Okay, quit reading the talking points there already.
I'm not.
Let me ask you, as a professional political consultant and advisor, how are we doing as far as relating to folks that, you know, they tune in here maybe to hear if Kevin Miller is going to get into another argument? I have a better one. Thank you for suggesting that, Sweet William, here at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. I have a better clip. How do politicians today appeal to the masses that may follow, oh, I don't know, something Chris Troupa said?
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
I mean, this is a challenge for you to get people excited about voting, never mind that healthcare is in. We're about ready to be hosed again. Never mind that the gas tax could be going up. That's been rumored for many, many years. Never mind that many Americans are very apprehensive. How do we get them involved as long as the fridge is full of beer and the four-wheeler has the gas? I mean, this is your job. How do you make that happen?
Well, there's a couple of things here. Thank you for the question. It is my job.
You're welcome for the question.
So what we're talking about are kind of, you know, I'm still kind of I'm trying to get out of the primary election mode. So in the primary.
Well, it's been a while, China.
It's been about three months.
Time to get a life.
Has it been?
I get that from a lot of people. Dude, do we have to hear about the primary again?
Okay, let me get back to my point.
Sure. Make it quick or the ADD will be kicking in for you as well as me, but yes.
Okay. So in the primary election, we're talking to a different electorate, and the primary election voters are very informed. They follow the news very closely. They're passionate about the issues. Now we're in the general election, and we're working with a much broader audience, and a lot of folks don't decide until they walk into the poll on election day.
Well, a lot of people don't vote. You look at the low voter turnout. Mm-hmm. For the primary and perhaps even the general, the midterms.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're in the war rooms. How do you appeal to these folks?
Well, and that's why you have President Obama out there saying the clips that you've been playing today. I mean, those things work. Unfortunately, those things work. Negative ads work because people don't pay attention.
Well, we'll speak out of school here for a minute. Do you think that the negative ads from the Simpson campaign were effective against Brian Smith? I mean, I'm sitting there hearing, here's the envelope. I gave him the cash, and I'm like, dang. And people say it gives politics a bad name, but look, Congressman Simpson won.
Congressman Simpson won. I mean, the voters decided that election. So one thing that politicians and, you know, people like me can easily forget is that elections are about voters. They are not about candidates. And it's up to folks like me to make sure that our candidates understand that we need to be talking about the issues that the voters are talking about. You know, what's important to the voters? What do the voters want? And that's what we need to make sure that our candidates are representing in their platform. Unless you have a whole bunch of money, like what took place in that campaign, they were able to change the debate into whether or not, you know, Brian Smith was a personal injury attorney. So you can do that. But the campaigns that I run are grassroots campaigns. So we don't have as much money. So we go around and we spend all of our time talking to the people. And the good news about that is that we learn a lot from the people. We learn what they're saying. We know what their concerns are. And we don't necessarily have to rely on really expensive polls to know what concerns Idahoans. We know, because they told us.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I mean, do the people really have any power when it comes to big money?
You mean, are you saying that big money buys
elections?
Elections.
I'd say it does.
I disagree.
Let's look at the scoreboard.
Let's look at the scoreboard. Raul Labrador was outspent.
That was 2 years ago. That was 4 years ago.
It was.
Everybody brings, and I love you Labrador people to death. But let's face it here at 580KIDO, that was 4 years ago. That was a aligning of the planets.
Mm-hmm.
What victory have the grassroots had in the states since then?
Well, you know, they came.
Hold on. Answer the question, please.
You love busting my chops.
I'm not busting your chops. I'm just saying. You made a statement. You disagree.
Look, you know what? You're absolutely
right.
But
you have to fight this. You have people that outspend your candidates all the time.
You're absolutely right. And in the areas where we were completely organized, you know, we won in Kootenai County. We came within a percent or so in Bonneville County. We won Ada and Canyon County. Those were grassroots victories.
Okay, wait a minute. It's getting fuzzy in my head here. You're getting too micro for us here. 580-5436. If you have a question for China, what's it like to work in politics? But look, the bottom line here is, and this is a cynicism you have, and again, a challenge to you. You have a public that's tuned into the beer. You have a public that, you know, wants to recreate, but they don't want to vote. So a challenge, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, is to get not your people out, but to get those swing voters, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So with reference, with respect to what happened in Bonneville County, how can we effectively get more people involved?
Well, we have to talk about what they're talking about. What issues concern them? You have to have a targeted campaign that reaches the people in those areas. You have to talk about what concerns them.
You know, and by the way, when you take a look at money, you know, if you have a candidate that is not up to snuff, look at Eric Cantor. He outspent the guy 5-6-1, but that can happen. It just seems here in the Gem State, it's tougher if you don't have the big money. And look, you're a true believer. You're fired up, and I get that. But the reality of the situation is you have a significant advantage if you have the big dollars.
You do, but when you have the people on your side, when you have the right candidate with the right message at the right time, you don't need all of that money.
Sure, that's a lot of rights.
That is.
All right, let's move on here at 580KIDO with China Gum. So the big story that people have been blowing up my phone lines with at home when I'm hanging out with Alabama Miller, Carolina Miller, Dorothy Miller, and unnamed male Miller, is this Dan Popke thing with Congressman Labrador. Now, a lot of people will say, Kevin, that's a little too inside baseball, but Dan Popke has been an institution at the Idaho Statesman for 30 years. He started at the police beat. He's been the scourge of every conservative in this state.
Mm-hmm.
He has written a lot of things from this, that, and the others. People are always mad about what Popke said, but to make Popke is pretty darn good. Now he goes into the camp of Raul Labrador, a gentleman that he covered, I would say quite glowingly, which I had an issue with, for the last 6 months. So your reaction to Mr. Popke going to the other side?
Well, first, you know, obviously I'm not Raul Labrador's spokesperson. I was his campaign manager in 2010 and 2012, but I didn't know that this was happening with Dan Popke going on board in the official office.
Well, I'm not asking you as a spokesman, but right. You know Congressman Labrador. You've worked with him in the past.
Mm-hmm.
What are you hearing from people in the community?
Well, I'm hearing different things. So, you know, a lot of people, you know, some people are upset about it. They don't trust Dan Popke. But let me tell you what my experience with Dan Popke has been. He has always given me a fair shake. I don't necessarily like the story that comes out because he'll write about something that I think is a non-issue and that, you know, I don't want to come out in a campaign or, you know. So, but he's always given me an opportunity to clarify, to give him all the information that I have to state the position.
Right, but is this really a good move? You're a political consultant. You're our Karl Rove here this morning at 580KIDO. Is this a good move? Because a lot of conservatives, a lot of grassroots, cannot believe it happened, are very, very upset. Is this a good move?
I can understand why they'd be upset. From their perspective, absolutely. You know, the Dan Popke's reporting, he has held people's feet to the fire. I totally agree with that. Now, if just for one moment, if I could finish telling you my experience with Dan Popke.
I think the question was, is this a good move?
I'm going to get to that.
No, I mean, no, really, it's, I mean, we're kind of informal here.
Yeah.
We're like an Egg McMuffin in the morning. So, and I know a lot of people like to, and it's funny because folks here, and I love China to death, everybody, you know, you ask Pat from Middleton a question, and he'll go on and on about some soliloquy somewhere, and they run out the clock. Well, we're not going to do that. I mean, look, is it a good move? You're a paid political professional. In your opinion.
I think it's a very good move. I think it's a very good move for him to hire Dan Popke. And I know, you know, my fellow conservatives are not going to like me saying that, but as
Why
I was...
Why is it a good move?
Because he has been fair to Raul.
He's been fair to every conservative?
You know, I kind of have tunnel vision. I follow the people that, you know, my clients. So he, in my experience with Dan Popke, he's very, very well respected among the rest of the media. He's well respected by the clients that I've worked with. He's been very fair to me. You know, like I said, I don't necessarily like the stories that come out that, you know, he decides are a story, but he's always been very professional and very respectful. And I like that about him. So now.
Then why do conservatives have a problem with him?
Well, because they don't like the stories that come out. They don't like, you know, what he's writing about. Why is Dan Popke focusing on this when he should be focusing on that? And I agree with them. I agree with that. But what I'm saying is that he has always been professional. He's always been respectful. I've had a great relationship with him,
right,
and so has Congressman Labrador.
Right, but, well, probably not during the campaign that you mentioned 4 years ago.
That's true.
At 580KIDO. So is there a danger, though, that the congressman would be alienating the people that elected him and people within the Idaho delegation?
I don't think so.
I think so.
You do? Well, my opinion is I like the Dan Popke hire. I think it's great.
Why does it make sense?
It makes sense because what Congressman Labrador did is he moved his press shop.
Raul, I thought you didn't know him that well.
You love it, don't you? You love it. Congressman Labrador moved his press shop from Washington, D.C., where it has been based since he was elected,
sure,
to Idaho. That's a huge, huge deal.
Well, Congressman Simpson has had
Idaho
person here for years.
He has had and
which
remember,
shows where his priorities are in Idaho.
Our friend Phil Hardy was a communications director. He was the local press person. But it's different when your entire press shop, the person that is wholly in charge of your press,
right,
is based here in Idaho. That is an Idaho-centric focus. And I think that's a huge deal. I love it.
Now, I love you to death here, and you have answered the tough questions, China Gum. By the way, if you have a question, a comment on the Dan Popke hire, 580-5436. We'll come up and talk about the A.J. Belukov gubernatorial race. Big issues here in the state. Don't breathe easier yet, because is this the fourth or sixth press secretary that the congressman has hired?
I don't work in the official office.
So we don't know if it's been four press secretaries or six press secretaries in less than 4 years.
I'm not quite sure why that's important.
I think it is because there's a high turnover there.
Is there a high turnover there? Is there? Because
I'll tell you, in 5 years, I've had one job.
Okay, look. Congressman Labrador has a magnifying glass on every move that he makes.
So does everybody else here.
How many people, you know, in all the other offices
have what?
You have people that
have
work
what?
Here from the governor's office.
Have
so,
what?
A revolving door. These
right,
positions
but you just
are...
said he, hold on, but you just said he had a magnifying glass on him. From
he
whom?
Does. From everybody.
Well, people so does wanna... Congressman Simpson. So does Senator Risch. So does Senator Grapo.
I disagree. I think Congressman Labrador is on a different trajectory. He's young. He's at the beginning of his career.
So if you're old, it doesn't matter?
Oh, gosh. Come right. on, Kevin.
This is like you and I having coffee, isn't it?
It is.
It is. No, but what I'm saying is, look, I think it depends on where you are. Look, if you want to be on the national shows, great, which is what you're alluding to. But on the other hand, you got to bring home the bacon, right?
Look, he gets a fair shake on the national programs. He's invited all the time. He he decided that he wants an Idaho-centric press shop.
Right.
And I love that.
Well, maybe he'll show up here for an hour one day. He'll bless us with his presence.
Kevin.
China.
He would love to come on your show.
Well, no, he won't come on at 8. He's written me that several times. All we would like is an hour. Maybe Dan Popke can make that happen. 580 KIDO, we continue on. China Gum with us. Let's get you to Robin at traffic. Hello, Robin.
And back, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. China Gum with us. She's still talking to me. And we continue on. Phone numbers 580-5436. We go to Matt in Boise. Matt, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Great.
So I think that you have the idea of the Popke Labrador story inverted. I don't know that conservatives are necessarily frustrated or upset. I think they're shocked. I think that they find it, that it was out of the blue. I think Democrats are the ones who are bouncing off the walls, pulling their hairs out, and saying, WTF, what is this all about? And I also think that you've got a little sense of jealousy that it wasn't you who was called up to go work in the Meridian office and make $85,000. So perhaps you'll have the opportunity when Harley Brown runs for president, do your thumbs up and go work for Harley. Appreciate the opportunity to jump in there.
All right, Matt, thank you for calling for from the Labrador office in Meridian. Mm. We continue on. I mean, really. We go to Tea Party Bob at 580 KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, China. How are you guys?
Very well. How are you, Bob?
Having a great time there.
Bob knows all about having a great time.
Oh, yes, indeed. You know, I tend to disagree with China that Popke has always been fair. I found him to be somewhat a fence climber and dropping over the other side many times. Dan goes out there and pulls a lot of dead rabbits out of his hat to come down on politicians on the wrong side of the establishment fence. And he's done that many times with people like Lawrence Denny. But I also think Congressman Labrador strategically hired Popke to strengthen his image in Idaho, mm-hmm. but also to keep tuned into the events taking place here
Absolutely.
So that he has a shot for running for governor in 2018.
I think I totally disagree with you. If you need Dan Popke to keep you up on Idaho, then why do you have a staff here? Oh, never mind.
You've disagreed with me before and lost.
No, actually, I've disagreed with you, but, let's say we're quick carrying the water for the congressman.
I'm not carrying water for him. I'm giving you my opinion.
Yeah, Bob, come on.
And I actually agree with Tea Party Bob. I agree with him.
Well, of course you guys agree, because you're covering for him.
This is the first time ever that Tea Party Bob and I have agreed.
Bob, have you heard from people that are upset with this? What has been the reaction that you've heard from?
I haven't heard from anybody that's upset. They're in a quandary. They don't understand why he's doing it.
Right.
I'm just giving you my opinion, what I think why he's doing it.
All right, then. Tea Party Bob. Thanks. Ronna Lee in Canyon County at 580 KIDO. Hello.
Well, good morning. I'm so grateful I had a couple of minutes. And hello, China.
Hi, Ronna Lee. Nice to hear you.
Have so appreciated China through the years, and she's just a great gal. And so I'm going to take a little bit different twist here, just knowing that
we don't have a lot of time left, Ronna Lee.
Okay. Labrador. Chairman of the Republican Convention, I think the way this whole thing is shaken out, I would love to see him come and make a statement at this meeting on Saturday, which was totally called illegally. How it could ever have transpired just takes your breath away. But Robert's Rules of Order creates an appeal the decision of the chair, and mm-hmm. as the party, we function under Robert's Rules of Order. No one appealed his decision at mm-hmm. the end when he made his declaration.
All right,
he
Ronald Lee, we really can't be
parliamentarian.
Right, okay, Ronald Lee, come on. We don't, you know, the courts have decided. And quite frankly, I think it's disrespectful to me and to the guests that we're bringing up this agenda. Speaking of which, let's go to Liberal Steve at 580KIDO.
Speaking of disappointing, hey, I like he broke girls. My name is Phil. I no longer got to take the Labrador pill.
Well, you know, that's not fair.
Yeah.
All right, China, we appreciate you being here. Any other thoughts that you'd like to talk about? Maybe perhaps A.J. Belukov, your thoughts on right now, Belukov going up on TV?
I was surprised. It's very early. It's very early. I think that means it's going to be a much more competitive race than I initially thought. So I was interested to see him pick up some of the message that Russ Fulcher had in the primary election, which, you know, that coupled with some of the things that Mr. Bujak was talking about on your show a couple weeks ago. I'm glad to see that people have picked up some of these important issues as far as the economy.
Well, how do you see it playing out?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm at the edge of my seat, excited to watch it. We're still in July. I don't follow July polls because they're, you know, July polls. So as we get closer to the election, you know, people start to get to know A.J. Belukov and they start to take a look at the candidates. We'll see how things move around. But, you know, like I said earlier, one thing that we all need to remember is that elections are about voters and the people of Idaho will decide this election. They will decide, you know, if Governor Otter, you know, four more years, if that's something that they want to continue to do, or if they're willing to take a look at a Libertarian candidate or a Democrat candidate.
Or the Republican candidate, Butch Otter,
right.
The governor.
Right.
Coming
exactly.
back for a third term.
Coming back for a third term. Four more years.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, China. We appreciate it. Your company, if people want to get a hold of you.
Inside Baseball Public Affairs.
All right. That's on the web?
It's on the web. It's on Facebook. We're all over.
All Twitter. Right. And we're over. You're listening to 580KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Joining us now is Paula Poundstone, world-famous comedian, coming to Idaho here at the Egyptian Theater coming up Friday, August 1st. Ms. Poundstone, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You know, and this could go good or bad, but I've got to ask you, how do you do what you do? That's got to be the toughest job and probably so underappreciated, the science of making people laugh.
Well, I don't know a lot about the science of it. I'd really fail if I had to know the science of it. Although I do know it's good for you.
Yes.
I know that. I consider myself a proud member of the endorphin production industry. Actually, no, it's the easiest job in the world. I almost feel like I'm cheating when I go to work. I get a boost of endorphins from it, and B, people love to laugh. And I happen to play to a really great crowd, so that makes it extra easy. Your job would be harder, I think. First of all, because don't you have to get up really early?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so you have, like, no life. And yet you have to pretend that you have a life because the radio people are always the people who sound like they're at the center of all the music and the things that are going on in town. But truth be told, you can't go to events. You have to nap, right?
Look, it's either you're exactly right, and you're that's a very great insight. Radio people don't have lives; they just fake it. And quite frankly, half the time they're texting or reading emails while they're pretending to interview people.
Oh, geez.
You remember,
geez,
like Wayne?
That's a breakthrough moment for you. Now, did you hear the lady a few seconds ago say that you guys had like some sort of a Leonardo da Vinci event happening?
No, actually, I didn't.
Did you hear? I can't remember if she said that there was a talk about Leonardo da Vinci. I can't remember where they said that there was like a display of his art. But
At the Discovery Center, yes.
Yes. And I've always wondered about him because my son goes to art camp every summer. And, you know, when he comes home, I don't have any more space on my walls. You know, when he comes home, I put his stuff up. and he, you know, his drawings and his paintings and things. And he's very good, but he's certainly not Leonardo da Vinci. And you just think they didn't even have a refrigerator, for heaven's sakes. Where did they put his stuff? After a while, his mother must have been like, well, that's wonderful, honey, another picture of a man in a circle.
exactly.
Maybe you could, you know.
I got to hit you with this, though. Back to your gig being tough.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody thinks they have a few yuck-yucks at work, and people have said that's the
and
worst.
They do. They think it, then they do.
But they say that's the worst person to go into comedy because you don't understand the science, the observation. Just your, you know, your basic thing there where you talked about Da Vinci and the idea of the refrigerator and the circles. So relevant, so concrete, and yet that took a while to observe to bring it out.
No, people just think of things conversationally. There's nobody funnier than McKenzie over in accounting.
Well, there really isn't. Well, what happens when McKenzie bombs, though? What's that like?
Well, you don't bomb if you're in accounting and you only come out of your office a few minutes a day and tell a couple jokes at the water cooler. I mean, McKenzie's playing it safe, I've got to say that.
Always leave him wanting more, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And but no, if you're laughing in the workplace, then lucky you. I mean, unless you're a therapist, in which case you're just not very good.
Exactly. So you're coming to Idaho Friday at the Egyptian Theater. What are your thoughts on Idaho?
Well, you know, I've been to Idaho. I've driven around Idaho a lot, believe it or not. I don't think I've been up in the stick part, the skinny part.
Sure.
I don't think I've been up there. And I get the sense from the map that there's not that much room.
Exactly.
I just have this vision of everybody. Well, you would have to sort of all funnel onto the same highway, right?
Right.
Yeah. Because there's not a lot of east-west happening, I imagine, right?
Not a lot, no.
No. I just picture everybody sort of like, there's one hallway I have a very small house, but there's a hallway from the kitchen to the living room where there's also the closet with the vacuum cleaner and the, you know, cleaning cloth receptacle. And, you know, when you walk through there, even if there's no one else in the house, you feel the need to kind of get skinny or go sideways. And I just picture the people up in the stick part of Idaho just walking sideways all the time.
Some could say that, yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys have a name for the stick part?
You know what they call it, the panhandle maybe?
The panhandle. That's a better name.
Well, you know.
I think I've been using the unscientific term, which is the stick part.
Well, that's why they employ me here, for the brain.
Yeah, you got the glossary of Idaho terms.
I suppose. Paula Poundstone with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. What do you enjoy more, being on the radio, being on television, being on stage?
Oh, being on stage, hands down. I love talking to the audience. I talk about, you know, lots of things that we have in common. Well, sometimes we have in common, which is raising a house full of kids and animals and trying to pay attention to the news well enough to cast a halfway decent vote, which everybody knows is not an easy trick at all.
Right.
But my favorite part of the night is just talking. Talking to the audience. I do the time-honored, where are you from, what do you do for a living? And in this way, little biographies emerge, and I kind of use that from which to set my sails. I know two shows are the same. I really don't know what I'm going to say when I go on. I mean, I certainly have material. I have 35 years of material. But I don't know what particular topic or what direction or
so you're
whatever.
That good, you can just come on and go.
I do. I just go on and go, which is the same skill that everyone has in conversation. You know, when you meet up with somebody on the street and you say hi to them, you don't go, well, geez, I don't have my script. You engage.
I usually just look down and not really, like, try to talk to people.
Well, you know, I was doing an experiment for a little while. I read in a book that you get a boost of oxytocin, which is the happy chemical, when you hug people. And so I was doing an experiment for a little while where I would hug everyone I met, and I found that I didn't want to come out of my room after a while. Just, hugging takes a lot of bravery. It's not that you don't necessarily get a boost from it, but first of all, the TSA hates that. And second of all, it also takes, you have to have a certain mindset to go about your day hugging people.
You're not a hugger.
I like human contact, and I like people a lot. There's just a – I'm not good at the part – but you can't just run up to somebody and hug them. That's assault, I think.
Yeah, not these days.
So, yeah, it takes a – it's much harder than it sounded in the book. To get my oxytocin boost, I'm going to have to just work out.
See, here's I've kind of evolved into a hugger. In the old days, I'd look at people and go, don't touch me. You're not getting a free sample.
Yeah, well, you know, society's changed in that regard. If you'll remember, and perhaps you do, maybe I'm older than you, I don't know, when the first George Bush announced Dan Quayle as his running mate.
Yes, I remember.
Dan Quayle came up and hugged him. And, boy, the talking heads had a field day. They said it wasn't treating the first George Bush in a very presidential way. It was, it wasn't manly. It was, all these bad things. And, you cut to now, and it's a hug festival.
I was going to say, what's the deal with the man hug these days? Do men hug too much?
I don't think they hug too much at all. They're a little brief, actually. They're not quite sure all the time how long to connect for. A lot of men having that sort of engineering brain need like a timer. No, I don't think it. I did read something the other day that said that the fist bump is healthier than the handshake. Okay, probably in terms of germ exchange, but my guess is not emotionally. It's just a different kind of contact altogether and not nearly as satisfying. I mean, if a fist bump was satisfying, then we would all just punch each other in the face when we saw each other. And that would have come into being, and people would consider that a very warm greeting.
It's always better to give than receive with that one.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think that the open hand and the few seconds of connection does much more for all these things come from somewhere, That's the thing about nature. I'm fascinated by that. Everything comes from somewhere. There's a reason. All except for one thing that I cannot figure out for the life of me.
What's that?
Which is why, as I grow older, my face is squaring out. And you notice it on lots of your brethren as you get older. Our faces tend to sort of like I get up in the morning and I look like someone has forced my face into a loaf pan in the middle of the night, and I can't figure out from a nature point of view where that came from and why. Like, how maybe, is that helpful?
Maybe you should have some more ice cream.
Yeah, maybe that there's got to be some. It makes me. I don't know. I can't figure it out. Whereas so many things in nature make all the sense in the world. Birds have butterflies have those little dots on their wings with circles sometimes, and it looks like eyes, so birds don't eat them.
Right.
Yeah. Well, why would a loaf pan head make a bird not eat you? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, Paula, we will catch you at the Egyptian. We thank you very much for making time for us today.
It was great talking with you. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Paula Poundstone with us here. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work.
They have announced that they're going to sue me.
On this vote, the yeas are 225. The resolution is adopted.
They're mad because I'm doing my job.
Congress writes the laws, and the president enforces them.
So I'm just hating all the time.
Are you willing to let anyone tear apart what our founders have built?
Come on, let's get some work done together.
Giving Idaho a reason to get out of bed. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Ah, Todd Rundgren, where are you when we need you the most? Kevin Miller in the morning, thank you all for joining us. 580 KIDO, spirited debate. If you've missed any of the program today, you can go back to our 580KIDO.com. Check out the podcast, lots of great information. Spirited debate, Steve Ackerman, we have Joy Karp talking about good customer service, Pat from Middleton taking me to task, of course, I think a wonderful interview with China Gum that many people will be talking about for quite some time, and I have to say, I've seen her on TV for years, I really didn't know much about her, but Paula Poundstone really showing you the science behind the comedy You know, we all love Jerry Seinfeld. Maybe a few of us like Ray Romano. But those insights that we can all relate to, it's fascinating. And we know when we see a good comedian, and no amount of people that, you know, drink alcohol during the comedic sense can get you over somebody who's bombing. I remember one time that I was interviewing a comedian. God, I love the guy. He was a wonderful man personally, but he didn't make me laugh. And you, after a while, you kind of give him the mercy laugh, right? Not so with her. So she'll be at the Egyptian on Friday. Looking forward to that show. Coming up, Glenn Beck, Dave Ramsey, and Sean Hannity, along with Alex Jones here at 580KIDO. Now, if you would love to keep in contact with me throughout the day, you can always do what Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, does, and find me on Facebook, and we'll discuss.
Everybody recognizes this is a political stunt, but it's worse than that, because every vote they're taking like that means a vote they're not taking to actually help you.
There we have it.
Stop just hating all the time. Come on. Let's get some work done together.
Well, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice if we're that simple? 78 right now in Mountain Home. Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's get your traffic now. 580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Don't forget the Kevin Miller hot list. I know what you're saying. Where is the hot list? It'll be back today. And if you want to, you really want to experience the program, not only do we have the podcast, but we live blog during the show. And I love what Jim from Star says. Hey, I love that blueprint that you give me once the show's over. Usually we're right on, probably about 10 minutes behind. Today a little longer. But like I said, we live blog during the show, so you can kind of quickly see what we're talking about. You can check out today's photo with the blog, Harley Brown hugging Robin Scott and Kevin Miller. Very captivating. Good day. God bless. Keep the faith.